Good evening and you're very welcome to this week's Global Village with me, Dilip Wickremesinghe. And for the next hour, we'll be bringing you to the core of the latest social justice and mental health stories by speaking to those who are affected by the issues in an effort to raise your awareness and, who knows, even inspire you to be part of the change. On Global Village tonight, a new innovative initiative sees reusable medical equipment from Ireland donated to hospitals in Zambia. And we hear how an Irish company developed a free tool aimed at combating homophobia online to celebrate Pride 2017. Do get in touch with us here on the show by texting us on 53106 at a cost of 30 cents. Email us on globalvillage@newstalk.ie. And if you are on Twitter, you can join the conversation by following us at globalvillagent. Well, I'd like to start the show again this week by wishing all our listeners a happy Pride. Last week, we broadcasted live from Oscars in Dublin Spitfield as part of the Dublin Pride 2017 Festival. And of course, if you missed it, you can listen back to it because it was a fabulous show which celebrated all things LGBTQI. The parade, of course, was today, and I was delighted to march with the LGBT Helpline, which is a national support service for lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender people and their families and friends. Pride is my favourite time of the year, as I like to call it, it's like gay Christmas. Some might wonder, though, do we still need to celebrate Pride in Ireland, especially as same-sex couples can legally get married and have children who are then recognised through the eyes of the law? Transgender people can embrace their true gender identity through self-determination, and not to mention the fact that we even have a gay Taoiseach. Well, I can understand someone asking this question, especially if they think that Pride is just a political march. But it is still a political march, but so much more. Although Ireland has come in leaps and bounds, we still live in a heteronormative world where everyone assumes you're straight unless you tell them otherwise, making the entire coming out process so stressful for most people. Cisgender heterosexuals don't have to come out, so why should LGBTQI have to? Everywhere we look, TV, radio, books, advertisements, politics, educational system still views cisgender, this is where a person's gender and sex is aligned at birth, and of course heterosexuality being the norm. Pride is about celebrating the fact that the human family is diverse, and we need to continually push ourselves to keep an open mind and be inclusive of all gender identities and all sexualities. We mustn't forget that in Ireland, 60% of LGBTI people have seriously thought of ending their own life. Compared to the wider teenage population, gay teens were 2 times more likely to have self-harmed, 3 times more likely to have attempted suicide, and 4 times more likely to have experienced anxiety or depression. And that's according to last year's LGBT Ireland report. Pride is also about raising awareness about HIV and AIDS and how nearly 500 people a year are diagnosed with HIV in Ireland, and to get the message of practicing safe sex and getting tested regularly across to everyone in the community. Also, Gay Pride in Dublin stands in solidarity with Gay Pride in all the countries where homosexuality is still illegal and in some places punishable by imprisonment and even a death sentence. I mean, it stands in solidarity with all the countries where people put their lives on the line simply to march through a city openly identifying as LGBT. Countries like my very own in Sri Lanka, where homosexuality is yet to be decriminalized and members of the LGBTQ community feel that they have to hide their identity. Although Pride has become more corporate over the years with multinational companies and drinks companies using it as a marketing opportunity, for me, Pride is an annual emotional and healing event for thousands of people like me who for so long were made to feel wrong for who we are by our environment. It is a celebration of our identity. Just like St. Patrick's Day is a celebration of all things Irish, Pride is a celebration of all things lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer and intersex. Well, let's get tonight's conversation started by texting in on 53106 at a cost of 30 cents. Or you can join the conversation on Twitter by following us at Global Village NT. Reusable medical equipment from Ireland is to be donated to hospitals in Zambia next month in response to local need as part of an innovative scheme to improve healthcare and training. The move is building on pre-existing relationships and a legacy of collaboration, and Zambia has become the primary country of focus for engagement. To tell us all about the campaign, I'm joined by Professor Frank Murray, President of the Royal College of Physicians of Ireland, and Justin Carty, CEO of IMSTA. You're both very welcome to Global Village. So, Frank, tell us about this initiative and how did it all begin?
In 2013, we got some contact from Zambia looking for some medical equipment, an ultrasound machine, as it happened. And there was a very long legacy of Irish involvement in Zambia, doing fantastic work, mainly through the missionaries who've been out there, and many of those have been medical and nursing and social workers. And many people in the medical profession here in Ireland have had a nursing profession, have been involved out in Zambia, people we'd know. We got a phone call in 2018 saying, could we get an ultrasound machine? And I called some people here whom I thought might be able to help in getting one, because I'd no direct access to one myself, people in the HSE. And everybody whom I contacted or I was put in contact with said, oh, do you know what, God, I'd love to help more.
Oh, it's fantastic.
This is a great opportunity. And, you know, we could do more. So we got the ultrasound machine. But as we did that, it just became clear that there was an opportunity to bring people together to facilitate gathering equipment. So we put together an informal group that evolved into what we now call Equals, which is an equipment and quality partnership with developing countries. And in fact, virtually all our activities focused on Zambia, for reasons that many of the people who become involved have a connection in Zambia, and because we have been able to establish what their local needs are. So we haven't been sending out equipment that we think needs to be sent out. We've been in touch with them. Yes, and also we've involved very professional people who understand the ethics and the correct ways of donating, particularly Dr. David Weekliam and Dr. Dermot O'Donovan, who are public health doctors and really understand that very well and have worked out there. So in response to that call for equipment, we started gathering equipment, and we couldn't have really done that without help from biomedical engineers, and two biomedical engineers in particular, Carl and Owen, have been involved. That's Owen Hayden and Carl Berg, and they've been involved really right from the start in terms of helping us to gather that equipment and making sure it's properly serviced and properly working before getting sent out. Now, interestingly, as this was gathering, we went out on a reconnaissance mission out to Zambia. Jim O'Donovan, one of those public health doctors I mentioned, and I. And when we went out there, it became clear that there were two other opportunities that we should explore in terms of trying to do good. One was to develop biomedical engineers training. There's a huge need in much of Africa in relation to that, including in Zambia. And they had a new initiative there. They had a biomedical engineering training college developed in northern Zambia in Ndola. So we've helped to partner them in terms of giving them equipment and some expertise. And the second thing that we discovered as a second extra thing was that we're a training, postgraduate training body of medicine in the Royal College of Physicians of Ireland. And there was a real opportunity for, when we went out there, it turned out that there's quite a deficit there in terms of meeting the local needs for postgraduate doctors. So we said, you know, we might be able to help you here. So we have been helping them now, helping to partner them to develop their own training program. So there are three. So now there are three arms. It started out as just equipment, but it's equipment, helping train biomedical engineers, and helping train doctors. They're the three arms to what we're trying to do.
That's fantastic. And when did the Irish Medical and Surgical Trade Association get involved, also known as IMSTA? Justin?
Yes, quite recently, really. Myself and Frank have spoken about it in the past. And as the company that represents all of the companies placing the devices on the market in Ireland, so 95% of all the equipment that is in operation in Irish hospitals is put there and serviced by our members. So we have, I suppose, immediate access and oversight of all the equipment. So when they have a particular need in Zambia, and we can put out a call to members for specific pieces of equipment, we will know where they are and we will be able to resource that equipment. Also, we have a very close working relationship with the biomedical engineers who service the equipment, obviously. But we provide ourselves, the companies who manufacture, training on the equipment. And all of the companies supplying the equipment, of course, have very skilled biomedical engineers to support the equipment. So we have the skill set and the equipment, and we were delighted at this. It's quite a virtuous project, really, and gives us an opportunity for corporate social responsibility programs. And we have in Ireland, you know, a long history of being good givers, I suppose. So we're really collaborating and giving our members an opportunity to, I suppose, get a very good program up and off the ground.
And let's talk about the benefits of this equipment. I mean, what impact will it have on the healthcare in Zambia?
So it's first of all, I think it's worth saying that it's very much a partnership approach what we're doing. So it's a partnership between our college, the Royal College of Physicians of Ireland, and the HSE, and now with IMSTA as well. And it's also a partnership between ourselves and Zambia. So, I mean, it's a two-way process. Everybody, I think, is a winner in the sense that I think our college and the people here in Ireland really benefit from the two-way
interaction. We're all learning.
That's right. And also, too, I think we're meeting people from Zambia who are exemplars. For instance, there's a Zambian doctor, Dr. Victor Makanka, who has been very much involved with the project right from the start. And I would say he's a real patriot, really. He wants to live for his country and do his best for the people of Zambia in a way that's really admirable to all of us here. I think it's a great example of something we can learn here in Ireland. So that partnership really is very much at the centre of what we're doing. Now, here's a very good concrete example of what happens. I'm a gastroenterologist, and every several years, the endoscopic equipment we use, you know, for scopes, for investigating patients, that's replaced because it's reached the end of its contracted life and the scopes have advanced. But the scopes that we're no longer using are perfectly usable. Yeah, yeah. There's nothing wrong with them. It's just that they're not quite as modern and there are contractual issues and around servicing and so on and so forth. So frequently what would happen to those scopes is they'd be just disposed of. Now, we're using them one week and we're not using them the next week. It's not that there's a qualitative change in them in that time, but they're no longer suitable here. Now, they are very suitable out in Zambia where they've been using equipment that's been 30 years old or they don't have any at all. But that's just in one part of it. In northern Zambia, in Ndola General Hospital, they have one working ECG machine for a hospital with 900 beds. Now, right through the system, there is a need for equipment that's functioning and will meet their needs. Now, we have tried to gather equipment that's appropriate to their needs, that which they need, and is useful and is serviceable. So we've been sending out beds, delivery beds, incubators, oximeters, blood pressure cuffs, consumables like diapers, needles, syringes. So pretty ordinary everyday equipment. Now, most of that equipment is actually working. It's not that it's not working. It's just not no longer at the level that's required here or the documentation and data gathering around the equipment. You know, everything's data driven now, is not quite modern, but it's a huge improvement for places like Zambia. So for that reason, we've tried to gather it, service it, and get it ready to be sent out and send it out by the container load. So we're sending our second container out imminently this summer out to Zambia. And it's very targeted equipment. A lot of it, too, is around children and pediatrics, you know, resuscitators, neonatal incubators, things like that.
So, I mean, this is real, you know, this life-saving equipment that you're sending over. And is there a need for some equipment over others, or is it just equally?
No, oh no, it's definitely there is a priority of equipment. For instance, some equipment is like sending out an MRI machine would not be appropriate. I think there's, in terms of the cost and the setting it up and the technical support that would be required for it. What we're really anxious to do is to help with equipment that's necessary and to provide for biomedical engineering support so that it can be used properly and serviced properly. I think that's really important. And that's why the collaboration with IMSTA, I think, is so important. I'd like to see IMSTA getting involved, that their members feeling a sense that they're along their corporate social responsibility, they would get involved. I think it's a win-win, as Justin said, because the equipment is no longer utilisable here in the Irish healthcare setting, and yet is fantastically utilisable in the developing world. So we'd really like to help in that regard.
And Justin, you'll be able to keep, track of the equipment once it gets there, and how it's getting on, and how it's helping the locals.
Yes, it's a big opportunity to bring life saving equipment. I mean, this week is Med Tech Week, being celebrated all over Europe, and we're really bringing awareness about life changing technologies. But we're now bringing life changing technologies to Zambia, so. It's wonderful to be able to share this the technologies we have. And I'm sure with the programmes for education in the biomedical engineering field, we'll be able to make it sustainable. And I'm hoping that our members will be very happy to go out and give training Also today in the technology we have, there's e-learning, there's with the internet you're able to access manuals and training programs. So we think we can support it. I myself was in Ethiopia and Malawi in the last few years. It was a shame to see good equipment there that they didn't really know how to use. And just sitting there, our equipment that was there and wasn't being used correctly. So really the education piece and the engineering piece is very important.
Because it's a waste of a machine then.
Well, you're denying, if the equipment is there and you have the life-changing opportunities, it would be such a waste not to capitalise on them.
I mean, it's a fantastic initiative. And can the public get involved at all in this initiative, Frank?
So, well, yes, of course they can. That can donate either, and I would be very interested in seeing people coming forward to help in any way that was effective and could be included within it. For instance, I think we could do more if we had more funding. Our college has made a substantial contribution to the Equals Initiative, and that's the main source of funding for it. But I think if people wanted to get involved, for instance, in fundraising, that'd be a great thing. I think there is a huge, I think forming relationships is a really great thing too in Zambia. We've identified they've got needs right through the medical training system at undergraduate level, at postgraduate level, and people want to help in relation to that. We'd be very anxious to put them in touch with, enthusiastic about putting them in touch with opportunities there to do good. Do you know, a principle I'd say, Dale, that's really important in relation to all of this is that, do you know, I think everything we get involved in, we should try and leave things better than they were. You know, we're not going to sort out world poverty or cure cancer. But, you know, if we could make things better in a sustainable way, and if we could, in partnership, help the people in Zambia to develop training along for biomedical engineers, for postgraduate medical trainees, if we could help them be better equipped, I think that'd be a great thing. So I think there are real opportunities. And you know, the context is quite important. There's been Irish involvement in Zambia for more than 100 years. It's been one of those places there's really been a disproportionate amount of Irish constructive engagement. And I think it's important that we try and keep that going. Those relationships are, the reputation of Irish people in Zambia in terms of helping constructively is fantastic. And we've seen many, many people make huge sacrifices to go out there and work. So it's a great thing. And also, we have benefited. I mean, there's no doubt when we get involved in a place like Zambia, we hugely benefit as individuals and people.
Oh, it's life-changing.
It is, of course.
Volunteering and having that, you know, because a lot of people, you know, CSR, some people say, oh, you know, CSR sometimes is used for publicity's sake. You know, it's a great marketing opportunity. But the reality is most companies I have spoken to, doing something like this can actually give a huge boost of morale to all the staff.
Yeah, absolutely. A few years ago, some of our companies were telling me how they were going to the Nile Melon Trust in South Africa and they were building. And I said, well, actually, your skills aren't in building. And they admitted that. Your skills are in engineering and in medical technology. How about sharing those in a similar way? So I would expect there'll be a very big response and a good response to this. So a little mustard seed, hopefully we will grow it.
For people to find out more, where do they go to?
Well, the College of Physicians, they can always contact us at the Royal College of Physicians here in Ireland. We have a website and we're contactable through that or by phone. And we'd be delighted to hear people want to help.
Fantastic. My thanks to Professor Frank Murray, President of the Royal College of Physicians of Ireland. Of course, Justin Carty, CEO of IMSTAR, also known as the Irish Medical and Surgical Trade Association. Thank you so much for joining us here on Global Village.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dylan.